Well, it is awesome to be able to partner with a ministry like Stanton, one that affirms life, fights for those who can't fight for themselves, including dads involved in this ministry that are alongside the spouse or alongside the girlfriend or fiance or whatever the situation is. Just knowing that we've got a partner, and for what you do as a church, because there are service projects that take place at Stanton, financial gifts. Many of you go to the banquets and the galas and support it outside of even what we're able to do as a church. And so a couple of times a year, being able to give a donation, and specifically on a day like today, we just really, really appreciate what they do. When I think about Mother's Day, I didn't realize all that my mom did for me. Like, I have an incredible mom, but man, once I got married, and I watched my wife do what moms do, for seven children, by the way, and going, oh my goodness, like what moms do, I had a whole nother level of appreciation. And so I just want to say thank you to all of you moms. And some of you may not be moms, but you're motherly. Like some of you are the older girl sibling, and you have literally raised those children, those siblings, you know, just alongside your parents. For us, our family, we don't have parents that live close or many family that lives close. And so we have people that have stepped in as grandparents or aunts and just served us and loved us like that. And so we are very blessed for those of you ladies that you have sacrificed for people. And we want to just say thank you. And we want to honor you this morning. I want to just bring a little bit of just attention and part of my heart, and our heart is Rock Harbor. We know that today can be a day that's challenging and difficult for some. Maybe it's grief, or maybe it's a relationship that's struggling. And we just want you to know that we're with you. We're praying for you. We are just honored that you would choose to spend time with us today, whether it's online or whether it's in person, and just say, God sees you, God is with you, and we are for you. Can we pray together? Lord, I thank you so much for those moms, those ladies that have served and they're sacrificial. Many of us are products of a praying, loving, servant mom. Lord, I just lift up to you the what you want to teach us through your word as we talk about serving. We talk about being a servant of all, and I know we've witnessed that through so many ladies that lead here at Rock Harbor, but also women that lead in our lives, and we just want to give honor to you for the investment that they have made. We ask this in your name. Amen. Hey, my last little bit of advice about Mother's Day. There is a photo booth out there. Kids, no fighting. Dads, no fighting. Okay? No, now's not the moment. I don't want a picture. You're getting the picture in the name of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and it's going to happen. Okay? Show your teeth, but not in the, like nice, show your teeth. It's what mom wants. Okay? Let her have it. Also, the passage I'm going to be in today is Philippians 2, and it is the heart of a mom. We're talking about service. We serve first as part of our What Matters Most series. We serve first means in response to all that he has done, we will serve humbly and to the best of our ability, both across the street and around the globe. Jesus Christ came as a servant of all. Matthew 20, Mark 10, verse 45, he came not to be served, but to serve. So we're going to highlight something that is, it's natural for moms to serve. I called my mom this week and I said, Mom, I'm doing an outline this week that I wrote. They are things that you used to say and that you still say to dad. And she's like, oh, okay. And so she's like, wait, which one? What did I say that you're going to say? And she said, you're not going to say, if you don't stop it, I'm going to knock your head off. I said, no, I'm not going to say that. She goes, if you do, then follow it up with, can you knock me to Wednesday because I have a test on Tuesday? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to say that. She goes, you should, because they're going to laugh. And you just did. So mom's always right. But I have some things that my mom said to me, and she still says to this day. And the first one is this, can't you all just get along? Like, that was the first thing. I was one of four. And so there was a lot of craziness. I was the oldest. I got in the most trouble. I was the guinea pig and the favorite all at the same time. So Philippians 2:1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any participation in the Spirit, and affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. See, this is the Apostle Paul, the pastor, his church planner. He's writing to the church in Philippi, and he's saying, hey guys, on some level, my joy, my satisfaction, my peace is wrapped up in how you're loving one another. Like, are you in the same, on the same mission? Are you in one accord? Are you of the same mind? See, what would our churches look like? What would our church look like if we were on the same page? Same passion, same desire, same, like, we want to serve one another. We're not coming here to be served. We want to serve one another. Think about the best sport teams out there. Like the ones, I mean, whatever the sport is, the ones that it's not all about offense or all about defense. Like, we're in this together. The person that's like, hey, I don't care how many points I score. I'm going to be on defense, but I'm all in. The ones that's not saying, hey, I need the ball. I need to do this. But it's like, hey, here's what we can do in order for us to be that strong team. Hey, I'll switch positions. Hey, I'll play over here. Hey, I don't need accolades. In the interview, they're giving credit to other people. They're lifting up their team. They're coming in early. They're staying late. The teams that do that, man, there's nothing like it. Nothing like that winning all in for other people type of spirit. You've been maybe in a workplace where you worked in a certain environment that didn't have the it factor, and then you work in another one. They're like, man, this culture here is just like, it's loving, it's helpful, it's serving. Like, hey, oh, you need help with that? I can help you with that. Hey, one time this happened. Not one that's full of judgment and pushing another person down. I love how it says we're in one mind and we're in one accord. And here's what I think. So many of you, if you've gotten married, you know you had the car that you had before you got married that doesn't really make it fully into the marriage. Mine was a Pontiac Grand Am two-door, red bumper, because I might have fell asleep one time and hit a car. Literally, fell asleep coming home from work. It was horrible. Worst phone call I ever had to make to my wife. Hey, honey, might have wrecked. How did you wreck? Oh, this person was totally stopped at a stoplight, and I hit him. How'd you hit him? Might have fallen asleep. She's like, you're going to jail, I hope, and hung up on me. And that was it. But that was not the car that made it really into the marriage. We got rid of it as soon as we could. The car that was like, this is our married person car. 1994, four-door Honda Accord. Talk to me. No cassette player, CD players. It's like, this is on, you know, factory sound system. So great. We could hop in that car and just go. The one of the trips we went on, we weren't going to have kids for 5 years. We take off. We leave Boise. We're going to Yakima, Washington, 5.5 hours. We get to Caldwell. And she goes, about that 5-year plan. I'm like, what? She's like, I think it's supposed to be 4. God has spoken to me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, we are in Caldwell. We have 5 more hours to get to Yakima. And she's bringing up the 5-year plan. Needless to say, about 9 months from then, we had a baby, and that's our first, Kiki, and then she conned me into another one that was supposed to be, hey, we're going to have another one 18 months apart. Nope, twins, 16 months apart. So, back to the Honda Accord. Here's the thing. I believe, when you read the scripture, I believe in the Greek, when it says being in one accord, I was carrying out the gospel. I was carrying out God's word, and so we've got this car. We got the kids in this car. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this in a car like that, but we would buckle them all in, boom, 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 all those car seats with all the attachments and all the stuff, and then you would shut the final door and all the kids would go, boink, they kind of bounce up because it would bounce the seats up. Like some of those were just elevated. They were levitating in the back seat, but there was a car, there was a seatbelt strapped in, and some would say it wasn't safe. And I want to tell you, it is the safest automobile ever. Because when we rolled, they would just stay right in there like it was like a ride at the lagoon, you know? And so it was perfectly good. So we would go, and I remember you could like reach back and I could like feed all the kids in the trough back there, you know, just feed them all. And we're all in there together. And in that car, I mean, we would hit a bump, we hit a speed bump. Everybody, we all get a little bit of air. It was perfect. We turn a corner, everybody's leaning left, every kid. That's what it means to be in one accord. No matter what you go through, you're together. You're in it together. Same passion, same desire. One kid cries, it ruins everyone's day. That's what your goal was, like, hey, let's do this. And when you think about this, can't we all just get along? What if we as a church communicated well? What if we as a church body met the needs of one another? What if we came in and didn't say, what's in it for me here? Where am I going to park? What am I going to get out of today, rather than what can I give and how can we serve and how can we love one another? Well, you're the only service to clap on that. I can always count on the 1 o'clock because that is my favorite service. You ought to try it. But that was good, man. My mom also used to say, can't you think of someone else for once? How many of you said that on the way to church today? Can't you think of someone else for once? I was waiting in the car for 12 minutes, you know? Thinking of someone else, verse number 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Keep that up on the screen for just a second. Notice verse number 4. What if we just applied that? What if we look to the interest of others and not our own? The contrast, even in these two verses, is like selfishness, service. I want attention and I want people to recognize my giftedness, or I'm going to recognize the giftedness of others. What I want, what I'm interested in, versus what they're interested in. Our lives would radically change if we applied verse 4. Our workplaces would radically change if everybody in the workplace applied verse number 4. Our families would be different. Our marriages would be different. Our church would be different. Like everything, if we would just apply that, so different. See, this is kind of like that character list of Christ. It's talking about Jesus. This isn't like an ideal character for just anyone. This is the Son of God, and this is describing what we could be. And he came in the form of a man, and he came and as a humble servant. C.S. Lewis, when talking about humility, says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. It doesn't mean you're like, I'm the worst and I'm horrible. That's not humility. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Another thing my mom would say is, am I the only one that does anything around here? I think I said that this weekend. I think my wife has said that. I think we've all said that, right? Am I the only one that does anything around here? Well, that didn't make the app notes because they're like, eh, Keith, that sounds like a little abrasive. And I'm like, okay. So it's actually, would you please do your part? You throw a please in there and it's better, right? Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. A mindset. The best description I can get of that is like having your mind directly focused on something like Christ. Like, hey, he knew he was giving his life on a cross. He wanted to bring honor and glory to his Father. He was going to finish the mission as the Messiah, as the Lamb of God. That mindset that is set. What was his mindset on? Well, verse 6 says, who though he was in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, he had a mindset of service. Is your mindset on service? See, Jesus was like, hey, I am coming and I'm going to be a servant of all, and no one can stop me from doing it. So when the crowds were there and he was over here talking to kids, his heart was set on service. When they were like, where's he at? And why is he at lunch with those people? And he's like, hey, they need a physician. Not you. You're good. You're eternity secure. You're in me. But no, they need a physician. That's why I'm here. When he would get down on his knee and wash people's feet, man, he made some awkward environments, but he was like, I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to be a servant of all. We use that word devoted in our mission statement. We use it a lot around here because it means to be committed. You're like all in to love and lead, devoted to loving, devoted to leading. You know why? Because in doing so, we reflect that of Christ. Devoted followers of Jesus, devoted to discipling, devoted to leading, devoted to serving one another. Are you devoted as a follower? And what did Jesus do? He served. Are you serving? Are you following Jesus? Are you on mission? If this is our mission, we're to serve one another. We're to give of our time. We're to give of our treasure. We're to give of our talent. That's what it means to be engaged in a church body. Devoted isn't attending. I mean, it's part of it. Devoted is gathering, scattering into community, and mattering, and service is mattering. I want my life to make a difference for eternity. Are you devoted? Are you on mission? I mean, it's very clear. First thing we have to accept is Jesus came to serve. And second, his followers do what he did and serve. See, when I do premarital counseling or talk at weddings or talk about marriage, often I'll talk about a covenant wedding or covenant marriage versus a contract marriage. A contract marriage is this. It's saying, hey, okay, we're entering into a contract. If you do this, as the husband, you're going to do this. As the wife, you're going to do this. And there's a contract. And as long as I got my rights, as long as I'm getting what I want, then I'm going to give. And honestly, think about a contract. You're always wanting to look out for your best interest. It's like whenever you went to go buy that house and you're like, you know what? There's their price. But here's the contract I want to give. I'm going to make an offer, and I'm going to offer this. And I'm also going to ask for the refrigerator. I'm also going to ask for the hot tub and their lawn chairs and everything. What else can we get from them? Like, that's how you enter into a contract. But a covenant is a vow. A covenant is a commitment. A covenant is a promise. A covenant has action and proof of love. And it's all about, hey, what are my responsibilities? It's about being interested in the other person. And you don't care if they end up on the high side of something, because it's all about serving and loving, and you want them to be edified and lifted up, and you want them to have joy. Now, am I getting joy? You're like, Keith, what in the world does this have to do with serving? What if we treated the church body like a contract? We would come in and say, hey, I've given this, so I should have this. Hey, I've been here a while. I shouldn't have to park over this way, or I shouldn't have to do this, or hey, as long as I'm getting more than what I'm giving, I'm going to feel good about it. And as long as they have these programs, and that becomes a contract. But a covenant is like, how do we reach more people with the gospel? Hey, what are the needs? I want to meet those needs. Hey, how can we serve? Oh, we get the opportunity to have another location somewhere. How can we make that happen? Oh, I need to give up my seat. Oh, I can do this. Oh, you're inviting friends. I'm gonna talk to them. Hey, I would love to meet them. I'm gonna connect them. Oh, our community group, it's just really, really good. And a covenant is like, how can we make room? How can I step into serving? How can I step into the fullness of being a devoted follower of Jesus? A covenant is completely different. And Jesus said they will know the love that he has for them by the love that we have for one another. And one of the best ways to demonstrate love is through serving. Not just because it's one of the five love languages, but it's actually the heart of Jesus. He came to be a servant of all. Not be served, but to serve. And in serving, you know this as well as I do. If you've ever been where you were exhausted, you're fried, you're tired, but then you go serve, it's amazing how you leave. You leave going, I feel filled up. I went to give and pour out, and I feel like I was poured into. It happens all the time. A covenant says, how can I freely allow the Spirit to flow through me? How can I let the love of Christ flow through me? I want to serve. And I understand we're in seasons at times, like in life. Like we get in seasons, or it's difficult, or there's been some stuff going on. There's a loss in a family. There's different seasons, and it's like, you know what? Now is not the right time. I need some time. And then we have to be honest with ourselves and go, 2020 was 3 years ago. We have to be honest with ourselves, and that 1 year turns into two, which turns into five. But you have to go, man, you're coming up on a decade of a season. To give, even though at times it's hard, to serve and to love and to watch community come around you because you're in close proximity and you're giving and you're gaining and the Lord is bringing his grace to you. Because it can be difficult. It can be hard. And serving becomes something that we used to do. And in reality, serving is not something that we just do. A servant is who we are. Just like Christ. That's who Jesus was. How can I allow the gospel to flow through me? What can I do in order for more people to hear about Jesus? What can I do in order to equip more people for his kingdom work, for his glory? Just like Jesus, my heart is set. My mind is set upon eternity. Not how can I get more comfortable. Because what starts is, you know, something that was there for a season turns into something that becomes the new rhythm. And it can be dangerous. And Satan loves to get us where we think we're treading water and it's just for a season. We don't realize how heavy that current is. God wants to use us. My mom said it this way a lot when she was getting ready to leave the house. She would say, kids, God is watching. And we're like, Okay. But that's not the point I want to bring up. The last thing is this: what you do on this earth matters for eternity. She would always say that. She said, what you do on this earth will matter for eternity. Here's why we do this: because people are hearing the message of Jesus. And I was blessed to have incredible parents. And my parents were like those turbo volunteers, like serving in all these different ministries, doing different things. They started going to church when I was 2 years old. My mom came to Christ like right after that. My dad had a relationship with God when he was in high school, but had wandered away from it. And then we watched as a family. Like, I just grew up at church. I grew up all the time. I mean, we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Like, I grew up, I was a kid sleeping on the, you know, the pew in the church, those wooden ones. And I'd be grabbing that pillow that lady sat on because it made it comfortable. And then I slept on it and didn't realize I just slept on someone's butt pillow. But anyways, that's part of the problems that I have in my life, why I am the way that I am. But I mean, I did choir practice and they would do, sorry, that was only for this service, okay? But I will say it at the one because it's my favorite as well. But I'm at church all the time. She taught like I'm going to talk about my mom for a minute because I could talk about my dad, but we'll save that for Father's Day. But I want to talk about her. I'll show a picture, okay? This is her. That's when her and I were younger. That was when I was wearing my Superman cape. Probably might have my Superman undies on too. This is her and I just a couple of months ago. This is us in this room before everything was even finished. I don't even know if it was legal for us to be there that day. But we came in and just prayed and got to spend time walking around. And then this is me and my mom rolling back the prices. And we were at the Walmarts. She's just an incredible lady. And she taught this like class for fourth and fifth grade girls. It would just be like being in our kids and ran a small group. And then she did the large group time too, and she would teach and put these lessons together, and she'd be like, Keith, is this funny? Because I was in fourth grade, and she'd be like, I'm like, oh, that's amazing. And she would like, oh, this is so great. Then she would drive this church bus, and this is just kind of different for most people to hear, but they used to get like church buses, and they would drive into all sorts of neighborhoods where kids came to church because their parents didn't. And they would invite their friends, and maybe it was free childcare for those families, but she went into a lot of low-income places or places where people, you know, hey, I'd come if I had a ride. And so she literally would drive a bus and fill it up with 30 and 40 and 50 kids. And my dad had a bus route too. We'd get there at 8:30 on Sunday morning. They'd go pick up all these kids. And my dad had his bus and my mom had hers. And I liked my dad's, honestly, a little bit better because you'd go down St. John Street and St. John's had those dips in it and it would send you in the back seat, like hitting your head on the ceiling. Like, I got two concussions that are still unassessed. So between the pillow and the concussions, that's where most of my problems come from. But just being out there and just watching, and then they would do church, and then they'd have the church service, they'd have kids' church, and then they would drive kids home, and we would go eat at about 1 o'clock, and then we'd drive 17 miles to the country, my dad would always take a nap, and then we'd get back in the car and we'd go to Sunday night church at 6 o'clock. And we did it every single week, and I didn't know any better. I grew up on a bus going to school, and then on a bus going to church, and then Wednesday night, she drove the bus too, so she had to be there about 5:30 because church started at 6:30 to get the kids there, and then we'd get home about 9 o'clock. We'd get a 20-piece nugget and share it with four kids and one large drink in the back seat. That was my childhood. That's why, and I loved it. All I knew was, like, we just loved the church. We just loved serving. I love serving with them. I got in seventh grade, and I got to be a leader in that kids' ministry, and I got to start, like, helping out, and I got to, like, write puppet shows, and I got to do different things and tell stories, and I got to go buy the candy once I got a driver's license at 14, and I'd go pick up the candy. I'm like, hey, this is what we're doing for the kids this week, and she's like, oh, you run the games. You figure it out. I'm like, oh, sure. Like, I'd make up games with sponges and water and weird stuff that would damage and vandalize the church, but it was for God. And that's what my life started at because I had parents that showed me that. Parents that brought me along for the ride. 10 years ago, I went to the post office, and while I was at the post office in Garden City, Kansas, with my brother, December 31st, he had to mail some stuff off for work because that's just how the dude rolls. Got to get it in by year end, dude. It's 4:45. We walk into the post office, and this lady behind the counter is like, hey, Keith. And I was like, oh, no. You know, like when you're in your hometown, you haven't seen people in a while, and then that crazy person says hey to you. And you're like, oh, golly, this is going to get weird. Oh, I saw on Facebook that you're a pastor. And you're like, oh, yay for Facebook. I'm like, yeah. And so we're just talking a little bit. And she goes, I just want you to know, like, your mom saved my life. I'm like, my mom saved your life? She goes, yeah, me and my sister, she used to pick us up on the bus. And my life's different. I used to live this way, but my family's completely different. And I've worked for the post office for 30 years now. Driving a bus 3 times a week, but serving people. Why do I tell you that? Because there's a lot of people that are missing out. You're missing out on the fullness that God would want to do through you because you've chosen not to serve first. Or maybe you've just gotten busy, or maybe there's been a season of your life, and I just want to encourage you. Your life really does matter for eternity, and what you do on this earth actually does matter. That's why when you look at verse number 9, 10, and 11, it says that every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That everyone would know the message of Jesus. Everyone would receive salvation. Everyone, every knee's going to bow someday. But sadly, there are those that will be apart from Christ in utter torment. I share that because Satan wants us to be comfortable. Satan wants to think, hey, God's going to save who God's going to save. And guess what? He does, because he's God, and we don't save anyone. My mom did not save that lady. But my mom was faithful in serving, and the Lord in his grace and in his goodness brought her from darkness to light. In the last month, we've had over 100 people surrender their life to Jesus Christ at Rock Harbor. Yeah. We've had United Night, we had Easter services, we have First Step, and many people begin a relationship with Jesus there. 100 people. We had 156 baptisms 2 weeks ago. Like, it wasn't planned. Like, those weren't planned, but that's what... Who wants to clap? I heard that little clapping thing. Someone's like... if he would quit talking, I'd clap. But it wasn't just like the message that was preached. Yes, God's word. It wasn't just the music that was sung. That's all part of a body. You know, there's like a baptism filler-upper person. And then there's a baptism like drainer guy. And then there's security. And then there's people that are serving in our kids. And they're bringing like some of their kids from their small group up into this area and down here to watch their bro get baptized that's in their group. And then there's community group leaders that are investing all week long and they're baptizing somebody from their group. And then there's regen friends that are all excited because someone went to regeneration and gave their life to Jesus and they're part of it. And re-engage, watching a husband baptize his wife last week, and then wives that have prayed for this man to be baptized, her husband, and then all of a sudden he's doing this, but people have invested and he's in this men's group and it's changed his life. And you just start to add it up and you're like, oh my goodness. And then you have student ministries, you have guest services. You know, the Bible talks about a door opener. Somebody who opens the door and gives a smile and has a conversation. And then there's coffee, and then there's people, and there's an info center that if there are questions, like all of it adds up to hundreds and hundreds of people. And I talked to Lene, who does our database in Hope, and I'm like, hey, can you guys kind of find a number of how many people served on that baptism day? How many people generally serve here at Rock Harbor on any given week? And they're like, Keith, do you understand? Like, we don't even know that. And I said, Jesus does, and you need to pray to him, and maybe he'll give you a number. And so then they're like, okay, I'll come back. The number, they're like, this is our best guess. We cannot even imagine. We don't know everybody that serves in local outreach stuff and all of this stuff. But our best guess number for that week is 797 people in 1 week. In 1 week. And we got the opportunity to interview some of those devoted followers, some of those devoted service, some of those that are devoted to volunteering. I want to serve in whatever capacity. God flow freely through my life. And these are their answers that they gave about why they serve here.
Well, hey, Rock Harbor. This week's value is We Serve First. So I thought it'd be really fun to just walk around on a Sunday morning to everyone who serves and makes a Sunday happen and just ask them, why do you serve first? Let's go. How long have you served, and where do you serve?
My wife and I have served at Rock Harbor when they were over at the high school for about 4.5 years now.
We're on the host team, and we lead re-engage groups.
Yeah. Why do you serve? Why do you love it?
We love the atmosphere here at Rock Harbor that's so God-honoring, and we want to perpetuate that.
How long have you served, and what do you do?
So I've only been serving for about 2 months now. I do camera operation. I feel like God gave me a skill that I really love to use, and it's really fun to be able to translate that over to serving and serving the Lord. And
how long have you served, and what do you do?
About 6.5 years, and I'm an usher. Well, I help people find seats. We squeeze in and make people get up and move, unfortunately, but they do, making room for others.
Aaron, how long have you served, and what do you do here?
I think I've been volunteering for 6-7 months now, and primarily with media, moving slides along on the screen and words during worship.
So I've been serving at Rock Harbor since about, I want to say, summer of last year. So I've been with the kinder group and a little bit in the pre-K room. So the 4 to 5, that's where we've kind of stuck to and love it. I serve to influence the kids. We're making disciples out here. We are impacting them. We are filling, you know, their Sunday and being able to talk the good word and be able to just impact them and spend time to let them know that Jesus is alive.
Tell me how long you've served at Rock Harbor and what do you do?
So I serve in the children's ministry here in the preschool. I think I've served for about 1.5 years now. We walked in the doors October 2021 and I've never looked back. We wanted to serve, and this is the best way to serve. We've got 3 little girls of our own, so it's nice to help them learn and see their parents serve, but at the same time also invest in these kids' lives.
I started when I was like 10 or 11, so yeah, it was really fun. I just served with the pre-kindergarteners. I just love seeing like the little kids and how happy they are when they like worship. It's so cute, and I love it. It's super fun.
I play guitar here. I've served for like 1.5 years probably. It's just so much fun. You get to hang out with a bunch of friends and serve God while we do it. It's awesome. Dude, worship nights are always like so much fun. It's crazy to be able to come together with so many people and worship God with one voice. And it's just like a crazy experience. It's awesome.
Yes. Really great. It's so good to see just so many people serving in different capacities. I just want to ask a question. If you serve in any capacity here at Rock Harbor, would you just raise your hand up? All right, let's give these people a hand. Thank you so much for serving. It's incredible. You're part of that team, and maybe it's 797 on a week, but then there's next week, and there's all that, and so many of you serving in way different ways. And I just want to encourage you to continue, and I just want to say thank you for doing that. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as unto the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward, for you are serving the Lord Christ." We continue to work as unto Him. And today's an opportunity for all of us to take a next step. And here's the thing about our next step. Often, like, you know, you have service, and you're like, man, this is great. I enjoyed my time. And then you go, and then it's, remember, the photo booth, and then it's like a brunch or lunch or supper by the time we get out at the one. You, whatever the things are, because things just happen. I want to take some specific and practical time right now to talk about that serving insert that you got when you came in. And you probably should have it if you got a program when you came in. If not, it's in the app, and I'll just wait for you to kind of take that out. I know many of you can see the screen, but also to say, hey, where is my giftedness, and what could I be doing, and what are the opportunities that are there? See, when you look up here, it's like, you know, production. What does that even mean? Well, we've got media, we've got video, we've got screens. Like, it's an opportunity for people to say, hey, I have a gift in that, or I've always wanted to touch a really expensive camera. Or, hey, it's baptisms and we want to be able to shoot this so that this person can take this video, share it with friends and family, post it online, and tell other people they have a relationship with Christ. And it took a team to do all those things. It's editing video. It's doing all sorts of things. Even like in this room right here, you look and you go, okay, some are in the room and some are online. Like, we have an online church that goes on. Like, this will be heard by people not just today, but tomorrow and the next week and the next couple years, that this might be the message that God absolutely changes their life, but they've done the work in order for it to happen. Even in this room, like, there's people up in this upper area, and if it wasn't for these screens, I mean, you don't look at me here because you're like, oh, who's that little guy? But then you look there and you go, that's a man right there, and then they shut it off. What if you couldn't see this beautiful look? What if you probably wouldn't come to Jesus? Okay, you probably would. But it's all the different things that go on that create a place for people to connect with Christ. You look at our kids and go, man, how incredible it is to have someone come alongside you as a parent, someone that loves God, someone that's going to share something, that's going to encourage your kid. They look forward to seeing. I mean, you heard Brooklyn. She's like, I've been serving since I was like 10 or 11. I'm like, girl, you're 12. You've been serving for 22% of your life. It's a, you know, I can joke with her because her parents are in my community group. And she's played her clarinet, and I know her really well. She doesn't like to eat sandwiches. But anyways, that's beside the point, but loves cookies. But she's just serving. Serving alongside her parents as well. What if it as a family, you're like, hey, we're going to commit to serving at the 1 o'clock service, or we're going to commit to serving. Let's do this together. I want my kids to be a servant of all just like Jesus. Well, invite them to the game. Invite them. Like, I got, like, my parents drugged me to volunteer, and then it became my life. And I began to just, like, fall in love with ministering to people. And I didn't drive a bus because I wasn't old enough, but I drove my parents' Suburban. You know, the one with the bench seat up front, you know, that you could fit 9 people in, and through some in the back, you get about 15. And I would go pick up kids that didn't show up on the bus and check on them, get them to church. And I was 16 years old. I tell you that because there's lots of opportunities and it looks different for everyone. But us being the body, I'd hate for you to miss out on an opportunity to serve, especially in student ministry. When you think about Anchor and Slingshot, like if you have a parent of teenagers, you are so thankful for another mentor in their lives that love God, love them. They may share something. That youth leader that shares something you've been saying for years, you're like, oh, you're never going to believe what they said. And you're like, I've been saying, oh, praise God. Praise God you have them. Praise God, Johnny Walker. I'm really glad that you're mentoring my son, but I've been telling him the same dang thing for years. But it's those kind of things. It's the college students that are like, there's a lot of different things. The young adults that are at the porch. Do you not want to know what's attractive if you're single and you're of a young adult age? Serve. There will be girls that are like, oh my goodness, did you see that guy that's working with the fourth or fifth grade kids? He must love the Lord. Think about it. It's an opportunity to just serve. It's an opportunity to use your giftedness. It's an opportunity to be used by God. Our guest services, door openers, guest experiences, worship. It says shuttle driver. I mean, how many places can you get on a bus with people that are glad to be with you, that don't smell like they just traveled 12 hours? They came from their house and they're going, and you get a bow right in that car going through yellows for the glory of God. Like, I mean, that's incredible. And maybe you're in one of those seasons. You're in a season, you're like, you know what? Now's not necessarily the time. Maybe God wants you to take the shuttle. Okay, that was just totally extra. I was just adding that one on. But what could God be doing through you? Because we're in this together, and I want you to not miss out. I absolutely believe that God has called all of us to serve. And I believe we're in a covenant with one another. So take your next step. Take your next step. I was a kid whose life was absolutely changed because people volunteered every single week, and I looked forward to seeing them. And I got to be around the best people on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I want to just encourage you. Take your step. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for how gracious and loving you are, how clear it is. You didn't just give us an example of serving and say, do it. No, you gave your only son that did it. So we can look in scripture, we can see it. We can be part of a church body that truly serves and loves one another. Thank you so much for today. Thank you for the encouragement in scripture. Let us be of the same mind, same passion. We want to see people come to you. We want to see every knee, every tongue confess that you are Lord. Let your grace, your freedom, your service, your joy flow through us as we serve one another, and we serve in our community, and we serve around the globe. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Please stand with us as we close singing together.